Praise the Lord. Today we are going to study from Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. We are going to read the scriptures and I will pray and then we'll go into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. I'm reading from New King James Version. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's look to God in prayer for a second. Dear Heavenly Father, as I come before you and we all come before you, and Lord, your word is holy and true and changing, and today as I am sharing this word that you give, Lord, I pray that may you put your words in my mouth so that I can share what you want me to share. And may you encourage us with your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I gave a title for this devotion, Living the Beatitudes. And these Beatitudes have been, you must have heard about these Beatitudes many, many times, but it's always a great reminder, and Word of God is always refreshing to our souls and encouraging. And I hope this word will be encouraging. And it says, the first slides, which talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is blessed are the poor in spirit? And here, in this first Beatitudes, Jesus redefines what it means to be blessed. The term poor in spirit refers not to material poverty, but to a spiritual humility, a recognition of one's utter dependence on God. Recognizing our spiritual poverty and dependence on God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And there is a blessing in all of this when Bible talks here, and there is a promise attached to the Beatitudes is profound, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it says, those who acknowledge. It means those who acknowledge the spiritual poverty are in a position to receive God's grace and enter his kingdom. And as I was reading the scripture, some of the things that came into my mind is recognizing one's limitation and need for God and cultivating humility and acknowledge our need for God's grace and turning away from self-reliance and sin, and being receptive to God's guidance and grace, and recognizing ourselves, recognizing the need for God's intervention in our lives. And we often recognize that we try to gain skill in our secular world. We may measure everything. As a believer, we need to recognize how much we are depending on God. And Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and recognizing how to get strengthened and depending on God. And Bible says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the second one, which talks about, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's not talking about someone who is crying over things that they do not have. It's not about mourning about something that we lost, but here, sorrow over sin and brokenness of the world. Blessed are those, when we truly come to God and repent and seek God for healing and strength. And God said, there is comfort. There is comfort for those who come to Him. Who truly come, it's between you and God. Blessed are those who mourn, and not mourning in public, but mourning in private to God and talking to God, talking over your sin and the challenge that you go through. God is the one who is going to comfort. Embrace repentance and seeking God's healing. And there is a blessing. In this context, blessed signifies a state of spiritual well-being and divine favor, not necessarily happiness. It's a declaration of approval from God. And mourning is something, a deep sorrow, particularly over our sins and fallen state of the world, recognizing of the need of repentance and longing for God's restoration. And there is a promise. There are two promises. The Holy Spirit, often called the Comforter, provides peace and strength in the time of sorrow. There is the promise that Holy Spirit, God, is with us when we are going through a hard time. He's there to comfort us. And the future comfort is ultimately in the kingdom of heaven. All mourning will cease and God will wipe away every tear. When we meet our Lord and Savior one day, and all the tears, all the pain that we go through in this world will be wiped off. So there is a promise. And God is the only one who can comfort us when we are truly grieving. And many people go after many places to find comfort, but there is a true comfort in Jesus Christ. When you truly come to Him and repent our sins, and he's going to comfort and give peace. And there is and some of the things that I want to also, in the questions I made on each of these verses, and a question to self-examine ourselves when we go back to our homes, in what areas of our life we need to mourn and seek God's forgiveness. A thought to remember whenever we read this verse, when you are meditating on it. What is that I need to mourn and seek God for His grace and for His forgiveness? And the third one, which talks about Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meekness is often misunderstood, and it doesn't refer to weakness or passivity. Rather, it is strength that is controlled by humility and gentleness. Humility and gentleness. And meekness involves submitting one's will to God and recognizing that His plans are better than our own. It's like me when I was playing with my kids. I do have strength to play with them when I played different games with my kids when I was playing volleyball. I know I can hit hard and I have that strength, but I try to keep my strength in control so that they will not get hurt. In the same way, knowing that meekness, blessed are the meek, for they will, and having the gentleness and strength under control. Keeping ourselves under control. Meekness is sometimes we often feel take recognition for ourselves. I was able to do this all by myself, not giving credit to God for what God has done. And gentleness and strength under control. And inheriting the earth in the sense of receiving eternal life and God's kingdom, where weakness will be fully realized. And there is a blessing in it. The blessing is meek people experience peace and satisfaction in this life. Their gentleness can lead to deeper relationship with God and others, which brings a type of inheritance in form of inner peace and fulfillment. They experience peace and satisfaction. Meekness. And we see in Numbers, we see Moses described as the meekest man. Despite his authority, Moses exemplified humility and submission to God's will. Submitting to God's will even when we are challenged by others. And Moses did. And when we talk about Jesus himself described as meek and lowly heart. Even though he great God, he came in a human form. He can make decisions right from above, but he did not do that. A God who became a human for us and came down to this earth. And he showed his meekness
on this
in his
dilemma.
life, even until the cross, until he was
I don't
crucified.
Know what is your life, how is your
he
life.
He did not give up. He's a strong
I have
God.
No idea.
He's a very powerful God.
I
he is a great example.
Yeah, it sounds like you've
was
been talking to mom.
Submitted to
I'm
God's
not talking
will.
To mom. I'm telling from my evaluate people,
suffering on the cross.
People but myself.
And humility
I
in
don't
relationships.
Know how to talk.
Meekness enables.
For evaluate to
others was
okay. I don't know what is your life.
And reconciliation.
I doubt.
The fourth one. Blessed are those
things are not
who
proper.
Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, having a deep desire for justice
because
and moral integrity. And here we talks about a spiritual hunger and thirst, not just a physical hunger and physical thirst are essential, but Jesus uses these terms to describe an intense and active longing for righteousness, earnest desire to live according to God's will. And righteousness, living a holy life, relationship with God and with others. It involves living in a way that reflects God's character, justice, mercy, and humility. When we seek that, they will be filled. What do you mean by filled? Is divine satisfaction. Divine satisfaction and the promises. Jesus promised that those who earnestly seek righteousness will be satisfied. When we do things pleasing to God, we may not see the reward at the moment, but we will see that later on, the satisfaction that comes from when you do things right. There is a satisfaction, there is peace, there is joy that fill our hearts. When you do the right thing, when you love righteousness, when you hunger for righteousness, and when you get hungry for holiness, the Holy Spirit empowers believers to live righteously. And the Spirit works within us and transforming our desires, aligning with God's will. And the question to ask ourselves, do you long for righteousness? Do we all long for righteousness in our life? And the fifth one, which talks about, blessed are the merciful, and for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It talks about exceeding compassion and forgiveness to others. And when we think of the cross, we see how Jesus Christ showed his love towards us and how much sacrifice that he have done, even though we don't deserve it. Mercy is more than just feeling sorry. It's actively choosing to show compassion and forgiveness. Showing compassion and forgiveness. In Exodus, God describes himself as compassionate and gracious. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, he is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And Jesus also demonstrated, if you look at, read the whole Matthew, we'll see he was healing the sick, forgiving sins, and showing compassion to others. And Jesus lived that example. He was merciful to the people around him when he was living on this earth. He set an example for us. And this is the bar. When I was reading and going through all these 8 verses, and I went until the 12 verses, but when I was going through all these Beatitudes, the bar is high, and Bible is expecting us to live so that we can experience those blessings. And these are not just for to keep a record in the Bible. And God has lived these Beatitudes. It's not that no one lived. These are so hard to live. How can I be merciful to somebody who hurt you? It's only when you look at the cross we can be able to do it. But not by ourselves. With our human nature, we cannot. But with God's heart, when you look at that, we will be able to forgive. And Jesus teaches us to showing mercy and leads to receiving mercy and extending forgiveness to others and compassion to others. And verse 6th one, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Sincerity and moral clarity before God. Pure heart. And when we see this, a pure heart is undivided in its alliance to God. It is not distracted by worldly desires or divided affections. It's a pure heart, not just external cleanliness. And Jesus contrasts external rituals with internal purity. True purity is about heart's condition. It's not just only outside. We take care of our outside so very well. But Bible talks about, blessed are the pure in heart, and they will see God. Not only external, but internal. When you take care of the internal, Bible tells the promises that you will see God. And when your heart is not right, when your heart or my heart is not right, we will not be able to see God. Those with pure heart experience closeness to God in their daily lives. They pursue His presence and guidance more clearly. When we spend time, and there is more we can talk about each verse, but when we go deep into this verse, how I can apply this into my life, how I can have pure heart, it's only through God. There is no other way that you can have a pure heart. There is no other source. You can be in the shower for 5 hours, or you can be in the pool for 10 hours. It's not going to cleanse your heart. It's only it might cleanse your outside, but not inside. It needs God to go inside your heart to do that. And cultivating the pure heart is confession and repentance, acknowledging and turning away from sin, and keeping the pure heart and engaging in God's word. As I said, scripture cleanses and renews the mind and heart. Scripture is the only way. And if you look at the seventh point, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Pursue for reconciliation and harmony. Peacemaking. Peacemaking is not about passively avoiding conflict, but actively engaging in resolving. And Jesus called his followers to be agents. His own mission to reconcile humanity to God through his sacrifice. And we have seen, again, looking at the cross. When we look at the cross and look at these verses, you will see the answer and the puzzle that this is Jesus Christ himself who was the peacemaker. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit God. Father sent his own Son and to bring peace for our lives and for our so that we can be with him forever. Reflecting God's character. As a peacemaker, actively seeking to resolve disputes by understanding and model forgiveness, demonstrating forgiveness and humility, following Christ's example in dealing with offenses. And these are very high bar, as I said. But when we look, when we take the help of God, we will be able to do what the Word of God is saying. To demonstrate forgiveness and humility and setting Christ as an example. And the last one talks about, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And which talks about righteousness, enduring suffering for standing firm in faith. Not just persecuted for our wrongdoings. Many people get persecuted for many things. But if you are persecuted, if you and me are persecuted for Christ's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you face opposition and suffering due to the commitment to God's righteousness. And we have seen many missionaries put their life in risk and travel to many countries, many places, and they were sharing the gospel and they put their life and they they are in heaven. That's the Bible promises. And it talks about there is the king, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Signifies both present experience and the future promise of eternal life with him. And as we go through this, have we ever faced opposition or standing firm in faith? And what would be our response? And asking these questions for ourselves, it brings a lot of thought. I'll just run down with all of these verses until 10. But when we pray and ask God for his help, and there is a lot of blessing. There is work and there is blessing I see in towards. And I hope that the word is encouraging. It's good to God's prayer. Lord, thank you again for this time that you gave to share about living the Beatitudes, O Lord. And thank you for this word that you gave to us. May you strengthen us and help us to apply this word into our lives, so that we can live according to it and be blessed. And thank you for setting that example that you lived out all of these. And you give us strength to all of us who are present here and who have joined online as well. May you bless each one of us. In Jesus' name.